First review of the season.
Woohoo! Here we are. The timeline will never make sense to me. We're four seasons in, but 2 years in, 3 years in, I don't even know anymore.
Yeah. I don't know how we managed to make that work out, but it is kind of crazy that we've been doing this for 2 years and it's season four. That is kind of weird. I feel like our first season, we were really just trying to like figure out what we were doing, how we were doing it. We weren't even really reviewing at that point. We were just kind of like, this is the movie and this is how it happened.
Spark notes.
Yeah. And so even then we were still trying to figure out how to kind of run a season, how long it should go, how many things we should be reviewing, what we should be reviewing, that kind of thing. So I think it's just been us just kind of trying to figure it out. And I think we have a pretty good system going now that we're in season four.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's always things that will come up, such as internet outage issues and any kind of freezing, things like that, just because that is the nature of interviewing any kind of podcast or virtual interviews that take place. And people are on opposite ends of the earth. And with that, things like that come up, but trying to figure out our sound issues and the flow, that is something that I do feel as if we have finally mastered our groove. Because, yeah, you watch TV shows and you see how season one is always probably the worst season out of all of them. And then usually TV series, they'll find their groove season two or middle to end of season one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's definitely taken us a little bit of time to figure that out because, yeah, anyone doing a book report on anything from season one, we got you.
yeah, for sure.
But this episode, I think we are really running with it with just this first episode in particular because we're covering a film that we watched together when we finally got to visit, and it was probably almost, if not 2 years, I think, since the last time we had seen each mm-hmm. other.
It had been a long time. It had been a while. It had been a while.
And this one particularly, because I love this film. I have seen this probably, no joke, 5 times, which is super surprising for a film that is very suspenseful and a lot of just keeping you on your toes. And it was exciting to watch your reaction to this film and Clay's. And I'm really excited to hear your popcorn rating at the end of the film, just all straight off the bat. I just said it. This is probably one of my top favorite films, and I'm excited that we get to cover it.
I'm definitely very excited to get to cover it. It was so fun to get to watch it with you. I love to get to watch these kinds of movies with you, especially. And this is going to sound weird once the movie is revealed, I guess, but I feel like there's not enough good movies in this genre, specifically mm-hmm. in the States. I feel like they always like kind of like want to do a movie about this, but then kind of like dance actual thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, it's a scary movie, it's a horror movie, just get into it, you know. And it's this one really does that, and it was interesting to get to watch, for sure. So today we are reviewing the movie Fresh.
Yes. And for anyone that is not familiar about Fresh, this was a film that was released straight to Hulu in 2022. It's a horror comedy. It's rated R. And I think this one really was not noticed by a lot of people. And it was something that I saw the previews, and watching the movie from start to finish, it's funny because the trailer does ring true. Oh, by 30 minutes in, you're at the edge of your seat, and
mm-hmm.
it did not disappoint.
So going into this review right away, I just want to point out that I think that one of the reasons why you like this film so much, so much, I'm going to bring it back to a TV show that we both very much enjoy, that you are a huge sucker for. the main lead, like the main antagonist lead, I should say, the main bad guy, he really gave me Joe vibes.
Yeah, absolutely. Goodness. Yeah, that is so funny because I would have never have thought that until you just said that. So yes, I agree 110%. This film, though, is jam-packed with some new contenders that aren't necessarily new to the acting game, but they haven't been in anything so big. Daisy Edgar Jones. She's been around the last so many years. I would say the last big film that she did is Where the Crawdad Sings. I believe that's what it's called. But then no introductory is needed to Sebastian Stan. We all love Sebastian. He's a chameleon. And then Jonica T. Gibbs, she did a fabulous job playing Molly in this film.
Yes.
And then so many other individuals that we were introduced to in this film. But plot, pretty much what it is, and the trailer does not give you a lot other than just what is important to the plot, which is this girl, Noah, has her best friend Molly, and they live, I believe it's in Washington, but Noah's going on this date with this guy. It's not going well. And long story short, she is sick of dating these jerks and meets a very handsome individual named Steve. He's got his whole life together. He's a doctor. It's too good to be true. Mm-hmm. And it is too good to be true.
Yes, yes. And I feel like watching it, you kind of get that sense like, oh, he's such a nice guy. He's so cool and charming. But you go into it, you're like, I'm watching a horror movie. When's the other shoe gonna drop, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think a big thing about this film too is not only is it edgy, it's funny. Obviously, nobody would want this to happen to them. But there's a lot of girl power and best friend connection in this film with Noah and Molly because they are inseparable. It kind of, I think maybe more than anything, the thing that really draws me to this film is because of our relationship that we have. Mm-hmm. And this would definitely be, I would go to the depths of the earth to save you.
Yes, 100% for sure.
But what is the big kicker, Rachel? What is the shoe that drops?
So this wonderful guy who reminded me so much of Joe ends up being a total creep, a total just disgusting man. So he fools these women, he tricks them, and he kidnaps them and takes them to his home where he has these cells, essentially, for them to live in. And he slowly takes their body parts and sells them to the highest bidder for these other creeps to eat.
Yeah, it is a whole new version of Hannibal Lecter, where it is this unspoken society of the elite that are willing to pay thousands and thousands of dollars for fresh human meat, especially depending upon what is this person's size, stature. It goes so far, and it was such a no pun intended, a fresh take on the cannibalistic realm of films, because honestly, I can't think of any films or TV series other than the show Hannibal that came out in the mid-2000s, but nothing like this.
No, I can't think of anything that's come out in specifically like in the U.S., that comes anywhere close to going to this level for this kind of film. And it's not afraid to go there. And it's very creepy in the way that they show these kinds of creeps in this film, in the way that they want to feel connected to their food. And it's like they're realizing they're people without realizing that they're people. And it's so disgusting to have to like watch that part of the film. And it was so, and I really appreciated that this film was like willing to get into that, because I feel like, again, like I said before, so many films about specifically cannibalism are kind of like afraid to actually look at the actual cannibalism. And they're just like, yes, it's happening, but
we don't want to talk about
it. Yeah, but we don't want to talk about it. And this film was like, no, let's talk about it. And I'm like, yes, we're doing a horror movie. Let's get into the gross, disgusting minds of these gross people. Maybe not a spoiler warning so much, but we should definitely say that it's definitely going to be a spoilery review, and you should be aware of that going in. But I would say the more important warning we should put at the top of this is a content warning.
Yeah.
We're talking about cannibalism, everybody. We're talking about luring girls to his home and then eating them. So content warning for those things.
Yeah, definitely trigger warning for sure, because not only that, as Rachel just said, there's kidnapping, a lot of other things that go on. There's a little bit of gore in this film, and so definitely listener discretion advised.
Yes, for sure.
And I think the characters, just getting right off the bat, the characters in this film were so well thought out because they are relatable. I will say that Molly, she is very much relatable. She is the best friend that wants to essentially find out, okay, where's my bestie at? She has not answered the phone. She's going out with this guy that I know nothing about. And then not only that, Noah drops this big bomb because we don't even know from the time, so let me back up a little bit. From the time that Noah meets Steve, they meet at a grocery store and they instantly hit it off. Noah falls in love with him and it's really quick. What is it? Not opposites attract, but
even I was watching it when we were watching it. I was looking at you like, this guy's obviously the bad guy. He's obviously trying to trick her. But if I'm being honest, if it were me and I was her, this might work on me if I was a single woman living, like, if I was in her shoes, this kind of thing would probably have worked on me because he was being so, so genuinely charming.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have been easy to fall for sure.
I have to agree with you, though, because honestly, you're looking for a guy and you're tired of dating all of these guys that are just not good for you, Chad. And you meet this guy just by off of a whim going grocery shopping. He's funny, he's smart, he's good looking, he's got a great job, he's got the whole package. And of course, it's, you know, you're wearing your heart on your sleeve. But the thing definitely that I try to think about with this film, if I was in Noah's shoes, would I go and travel with this guy that I've been dating for? We have no idea how long they've been dating, but let's just say a couple weeks. Would I actually go on a trip with a guy that I just met in the middle of the woods where I know nothing about where he's taking me?
Okay, before I answer this question, how old is she? Do we know?
Honestly, I don't think they ever really reveal what her age is, but if I'm gonna guess, she's probably late 20s to early 30s. That's at least what I'm getting.
Okay, because I'm gonna go ahead and say a younger version of myself, 100%. 100% was yeah. Not smart, was very spontaneous, would have, like, if a guy I was dating was like, hey, let's go on a trip, I'm paying for it, I got this great place, I would have gone and nobody would have ever heard from me again. It just, I wasn't the best decision maker back then and I was always down for a good time. So that probably would have got me a younger version of me. That being said, a version of me in my late 20s, early 30s, me now, probably not. I would be like, can I invite my friend? Can my friend come? You know, you can invite your friend. Maybe they get together, you know, who knows? But
absolutely.
But, yeah, but I definitely wouldn't know.
Yeah, it's hard to think at what point is it the younger version of me or is it the now me? Definitely, if this was happening to me now, no way would I go on a trip with this guy that I just met and not even at least introducing him to you or anybody else in my life. But that was the first thing that was kind of a little bit sketchy. But hey, again, it depends on what is everyone's comfort level, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to this cool place. But I think the biggest thing that was, I would have been instantly no, is the cell service not working.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's usually my go-to for anything. I have a younger sister, for the listeners listening. I have a younger sister. She is younger 20s. And she goes out on dates, and anytime she goes out, I'm like, send me your location, make sure you have internet service, can I have his can I have their license plate, please? Just any information I can get. And it sounds a little crazy, but it's not. And the not being able to share my location with you or my sister or anybody, that, no, absolutely not. So going somewhere without cell service, so I can't have that extra little peace of mind, mm-hmm. would definitely be a no-go for me. PSA from Two Girls, One Review. Let your friends know where you are when you go out with strangers.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely especially first time going anywhere serious, let the people in your inner circle know where you're going. Definitely location services on if you don't want to go to that point. Mm-hmm. Whatever you need to do to feel comfortable.
Yes.
But the fact of literally you just, as a viewer, you are literally sucked in at that 30 mark. It was accurate. And from there, as soon as they get into the house, oh, you have really nice digs and getting comfortable. And then he drugs her. And that's where the whole film just switches gears.
I know. It was such a bummer, too, because I knew it was going to come. I knew it was going to happen probably sometime soon, especially when the cell phone service wasn't working. I was like, oh, boo. He's about to do some nefarious things.
Yes.
And the way they do the scene where you really get to watch her,
yeah,
come to the conclusion of like, oh no, I don't feel good because I've been drugged.
Yeah.
Just realizing the past couple weeks have all been a lie, that it was all to get to this point here, and that she doesn't have the strength to even get up and get out of the situation. That scene felt like 10 years. And they did it so well.
Yeah, a lot of buildup in that one moment, because you actually feel that you are Noah at that time. And then her whole world changes, where literally she wakes up once she comes to. She's in this whole other room. She's handcuffed and she's looking at Steve in complete disbelief and says to him, wait a second, where am I? And then it all clicks finally for her that this is actually happening. I am a prisoner with this guy that I have dated for the last however many weeks. And from there, that is where I think a lot of Molly's character really plays an important key role in this too, where best friend is on high alert. I have not heard from my friend. She texted me, but the way she's texting me doesn't sound like her. And gets this huge, horrible sinking feeling where Detective Molly, finding out who is this guy, and starts to uncover a little bit of who Steve is.
If you don't have a friend like Molly in your life, get one.
Absolutely.
And I would do the same for you. And that's just it. And I think that was my favorite thing about Molly, was she was very suspicious right out the gate. And mm-hmm. reading the text messages, I was like, oh, this isn't how my friend texts me. This isn't the lingo that we use with each other, you know? And you can pick up on those things very easily with your friends, I feel like, to where when I'm texting you or I'm texting Clay or something, I can kind of pick up on your vibe just by the way that you choose to text me, by the words that you choose. Like, I can tell that if you're irritated or if you're, you know, in a good mood or whatnot. And I can tell that it's you, you know? And so I feel like it would be very easy to pick up on, hey, this weirdo, this is off. And I love Molly so much for picking up on that so quickly, of like, something's not right here, and just going into detective mode of getting ready to find her friend, knowing that other avenues are probably not going to be helpful for getting her friend saved.
Oh, definitely. And just the fact of not only that, because that's its own story in itself, is her trying to find, where's my best friend? I can't find her. And she also goes to the one bartender guy that she is friends with as well and tries and asks for his help, which he does. But you think it's going to be a get out moment where this guy, when he pulls up to the house looking for Noah, and spoiler alert, when Molly also goes missing at some point, and he's like, nah, forget this. And he ends up leaving. But with that, I will say, at least Molly let somebody know where she was. She had her location services on. Mm-hmm. It was all to go save her best friend, but at the price of also getting partially eaten at the same time.
Yeah.
Which, that is something with this film, because Steve was telling the truth. He is a surgeon. He didn't say what kind of surgeon exactly, which we get into where Noah finally gets her chance. She tries to escape, and the crazy thing about that is he puts her in this twilight state of, she is still awake and coherent of what is happening.
Yes, it's insane. And I do want to point out, in that moment where, like, they are actually managing to kind of break away and almost an escape, essentially, spoiler warning, I guess. You knew what you were getting into when you were getting into this review. But when they're actually making that moment and they're escaping, but they're kind of like taking that moment to breathe and be like, oh, did we do it? We're actually, like, because they're out of their cages and they're outside and they're breathing fresh air for probably the first time in God knows how long, for how long it's felt for them even, you know? And they're out there breathing fresh air and they're taking kind of like a breather of, oh, we're out. And I'm just like, no, there's still people in the house. You need to get out. And you're just like, Rachel, have you seen this movie before?
Yeah, it's definitely interesting how they did that. And I think it's really cool too at the same time, because yeah, it's we get to that big climax of finally they're able to escape in the film and they're on the property, but yet there's still somebody in the house, dude. Did you go and check if he's still alive?
I'm a firm believer in the double tap, Nikki. I hadn't seen the movie before, but yeah, I've seen horror movies before. And if you don't double tap, the villain is still alive.
Oh, absolutely. It's just crazy because Noah, as she's going through this, you know, she's been essentially, her behind has been taken away. She is healing from that. She meets this girl Penny, who is in the cell next to her, that has been really, a lot of her body is now gone because mm-hmm. Steve has taken it away and obviously sold it to these random people that we don't know who or anything about them. And her and Penny kind of form this friendship and this bond where she can't see Penny, she doesn't know what she looks like, but she hears her from the opposite end of the wall. And as time is going on, as Noah is captured and held hostage, she's getting more special treatment from Steve than Penny is, and she's receiving these magazines that he has for her. But the cool thing about it is she finds these little hidden messages from the chick that was there before her, that Steve mm-hmm. does actually have this weird love for Noah, as we find in this movie, that he softens.
It's almost like he wanted to find a kind of partner in crime, I guess. Somebody who, even if he had hurt them, that might be able to understand his twisted logic or his twisted mind in the way that he saw. And when I say this, I want to say, like, he's disgusting for thinking these things, but he really felt there was some kind of beauty in the way that he was eating these people. He really felt that he had, so like, he genuinely felt he had this connection with these people by eating them, which is disgusting, but he wanted, you can tell he desperately wanted to find somebody else to share that feeling with, mm-hmm. as twisted as it was. And she saw that and was able to use, like, Noah saw that and was able to use that against him in a masterful way.
Yeah. And over time, we find out that Steve has a wife and a whole other family. He has two kids. And we learn that as Molly is looking for Noah. And Molly goes to Steve's actual house and meets his wife. And that's how she gets captured because, haha, joke's on you. Wife is also in cahoots. She knows what's going on. But another twisted, crazy line of events is we find out through this movie that the wife was also a girl that was also held captured at one point by Steve.
I think he really wants to find somebody to essentially Stockholm syndrome, but then manage to keep, because I feel like the first wife kind of got there, but then kind of managed to get a foothold of her own, like, bit of power, if you know what I'm saying. And I think he wanted somebody that he could keep under his thumb a little bit easier.
I think the relationship was definitely different. Even parts where him and his wife are in the bathroom together, you still get this sense of they're married, they know what's going on, but it feels more as a partnership than it does that they have an actual relationship where Steve and Noah definitely had, there was a different relationship.
It was like he was trying to have that emotional connection.
Yes, that he was missing with his wife, and by no means is what Steve and Noah had was a relationship.
No, she was playing a game
Yeah.
to get out, and she played it well.
Absolutely. And I'm curious because they never fully say who the person was in the magazines, leaving any hints for the next girl that was in that position. I wonder if that was the wife or if it was some other girl that we just don't even know who it was.
It very well possibly could have been the wife, because there could have been a point where she didn't feel the way that she felt. Maybe she hit a point that she thought the only way she could escape is by partnering with him. There's no way to know because we don't know her full story, but there's a very big possibility that that was her and she was genuinely trying to help the next person in her shoes, but then somewhere along the line her motive shifted.
Yeah, definitely. Because at the end of the film, if we're moving forward towards that, things definitely the climax of the film hits. This is where Noah is has finally, I think, has seduced Steve, gotten him to this point of, oh, I can trust her. I can let her out of her cell and let her freely walk around the house. They have dinner together. And in this chain of events, too, is where, poor Noah. I don't think she ever had a clue, which is good, but the sole fact that she was eating her best friend Molly, she had no idea. No idea. And it's probably better that she didn't know, vice versa. But with that is where she is able to finally seek her revenge and hurt Steve and get all the other girls out of their cells.
It was immaculate. If you
Yes.
want, to watch a good girl power moment, watch this movie. For this
Who
scene that we're referencing right now, we're not going to tell you what happened because it's a little too graphic for us to even say on here,
Yeah.
but definitely worth a watch.
Absolutely. And toothpaste, of all things, what a good way to, a different thing to use other than pepper spray.
So smart. So smart. I loved it.
And that's where that girl power comes into play. And finally, Molly and Noah are reunited because I think the biggest thing where your heart sinks a little bit up to that point is Noah finds out her Molly's cell phone is in the shrine of other women's cell phones.
Yes, so she finds the shrine of just cell phones, and it was other things too, just like different belongings and stuff, because it was like I was saying before, it went so much more than just sending the pieces of these girls to these elite people. They were also sending their clothes and stuff to them, and it was really just gross, the obsessiveness they had with it.
There was something about some, it felt very much as I own this person, because he was sending IDs with these not only meat, but clothing pieces or whatever other items that these individuals had owned, because in a way it was able to put a face to who these people were that were purchasing this.
It was almost like they were trying to absorb them.
Yeah. Something very psychological about this film for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the ending is very much the, there's a lot of excitement that happens there. Not only do the girls finally get out and they get theirs to Steve, essentially getting to cause just as much pain as possible as he caused pain to them. And that is where not only throughout this film you see that girl power, but really at the end of the film is where mm-hmm. you feel it the most.
Yes, and it is magnificent.
Especially because, come on, lady, when the wife shows up, because this house that Steve has been doing this, he has two separate houses. He has his house where it is his daily persona, where he has his children, his two sons there, his wife. Everything seems like it's the perfect white picket fence. And then the house that he takes these women to is in the middle of nowhere. There's no houses anywhere nearby. It's very off the grid where nobody knows. And the wife comes out there because then she says, where's my husband? He didn't come home for this evening or whatever be the case. And shows up with this guy, which we can only assume is not only their security guy, but a part of this big world that we know nothing about other than these elite individuals paying for meat.
Mm-hmm. And it's the way that this whole thing just like plays out, where we have our girls. Noah's managed to find her friend, get her. They're getting out. She thinks she's managed to get Noah out of, or not Noah, Steve out of the picture, and they can get away. And this is the point where I was saying, oh my god, guys, like you can't stop, you can't breathe, the wife's in the house.
That...
and you were like Rachel, how did you know? And I was like, because this is how this works.
Biggest thing that drives me nuts in this film, that irks me, is you were escaping. You finally have Penny, you have Molly, you're on your way out. Given, where are they gonna go? They are all healing because they have had surgery, not selective surgery, done to them by Steve, and they're trying to escape. But where are they gonna escape? They're in the middle of nowhere, miles and miles away. But for whatever reason, Noah, girl, come on. You could have bought in a new cell phone. You could have bought a new cell phone. Like, why go back into the house for your cell phone? I don't understand.
That was so dumb. I would have just kept going until I found a road, like the first road I could find, and then I would just be on it until a car came, you know? Like, just like, help me, you know? Just,
she ends up saying, I need my cell phone. She goes back into the house for whatever reason and go and grabs her cell phone, and that is where, when she comes back out of the house, she meets Steve's wife, where she's trying to be this convincing actress and says, I need help, oh thank goodness I found you, and almost kills Noah in the process.
And it's, oh my god, that, like, and I was just like, see, Nikki, I told you. This is how this works. It just, that whole chase that they have, too, because she, like, ends up, like, running through these trees to try to get away from her. And like, the whole time, I was just like, see, this is why you should have kept going. You didn't need the phone.
Is it fair to say, because this is how I feel, I would say that Molly is the true hero of this film.
Oh, 100%. 100%. She's the only one with a good head on her shoulders. outside of actually going to the place where her friend being held captive and then ending up getting held captive herself and trusting the stupid screwboy at the bar to help her instead of somebody a little bit more reliable. Outside of that decision, she was the only one with a good head on her shoulders, in my opinion.
And that's what makes Molly one of the coolest characters in cinematic history within a horror slash suspenseful drama film.
Get you a friend like Molly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And let me ask you this. If we were in this predicament, would you be Molly or Noah? Would I be the Noah or would I be the Molly?
I feel like, if I'm being entirely honest, you're a little bit smarter about these things than I am. Like, I'm smart about them when I'm watching movies because I'm like, oh, this is always how it happens in movies and you can't trust anybody in movies. But for some reason in real life, I am very much, I just want to see the best in people, the good in people. Whenever I meet a new person, I always try to see that side of them. So I feel like even with what I know now in trying to be a more responsible adult around strangers, I would be a little bit more susceptible, I feel like, than you would. I feel like you're a little bit more level-headed about that kind of thing than I am. That being said, if the roles were reversed and it was you who were Noah and me who had to be Molly, you better believe I would step up and save you.
I have to agree. I definitely feel that in that scenario, I would be Molly. And I think the biggest thing about the ending of this film is Chad. Good old Chad. Chad is this guy that we meet in the beginning of the film where Noah is on a date with him and he is just, he's a jerk. He goes in where, one, he forgets to tell her, oh, this place is cash only, last minute. She has to get cash. She pays for her bill, which is fine if you're going to split the bill, but they don't even talk about splitting the bill. Mm-hmm. And they're done at the end where she's saying, oh, can I get a box? And she's debating if she's going to take her food home. And he ends up says, oh, are you going to eat this? And he just takes her leftovers. And
yeah, first of all, if you invite somebody out and you want to split the check, say something beforehand. If you invite them out, you're paying. You did the inviting. So you pay. Otherwise, say something. On top of it, nothing irritates. I live for my leftovers. I love my leftovers. Certain leftovers, I swear, they taste better after you've let them sit in your fridge for a day and then you reheat it in your microwave. It just, it's just the way certain things work. If you take my leftovers, that is a criminal offense in my eyes. I've had times where I've had my leftovers in the fridge and I've been thinking about them all day, like, oh, when I get home, I'm going to make those and it's going to be so good. I'm so hungry just thinking about it. I get home, I get in the fridge, they're gone. I will literally throw a fit. I will literally throw a child's fit over leftovers. So when he did that, I was just like, that is disgusting.
Not even that, but even after that, he's trying to make a move on her. And she's very polite about it and says, you know, Chad, I just don't think we're compatible. And wine, what a better time than in the moment to say that versus have him go home, text her later, and think otherwise. And he is just a complete jerk, tells her off. And then at the end of the movie, full circle, coming back around after her and Molly have been through this together, they have been chased, they have had surgery done on them, they are missing limbs. Chad messages and tries and hits at her for a night of whatever he was looking for.
He hit her with the you up text.
It's like, dude, Chad, no.
See, no, Nikki, that's why she had to go back and get the phone. So we could see the text from Chad.
Of course. The thing about this film, though, is it leaves it on a cliffhanger because the wife, obviously, we know what happens to her. She gets killed by Molly in a rage of anger, of course. Molly, you're a good girl. But anyways, the security guy is still in the house. We don't know what happens to him. And there's this whole entire league of people we know nothing about where they could completely run with this film and either do a prequel where we learn more about Steve's story and how he came into this mix, maybe more about his wife and how that came to play. But then there always could also be a second movie after this, really showing us, well, what happens? Where does this guy go? They really leave it open for just interpretation, however you want to take it.
They really set it up to where if they really, really wanted to, they could make a whole franchise out of it. If it is successful enough, they could make a whole bunch of more films about this weird little society of creeps.
Absolutely. And getting into just the movie itself, because we know that this is a girl power movie, it's a thriller, suspense, drama, all of the above. But the biggest thing of what this is covering is cannibalism, which they mm-hmm. do it in such a soft way that they could, but also it's just such a, again, a fresh take on something that we have not seen in many years, that I think it was just something so simple, but so well done at the same time that I'm always here for a good suspense movie. I love the original Hannibal Lecter films, mm-hmm. the TV series I watched, and I think this was just a film that was, it was due. It was, definitely. That's the best thing I could say mm-hmm. is it was time for a film like this one.
I agree wholeheartedly. This film was so good. Like I said, I like creepy movies, I like scary movies, and I like suspenseful movies. And I feel like there's not a whole lot of those movies that fall into the cannibalism genre.
Yeah.
And as weird as it sounds to say, it's a little disappointing that the only really good film diving into that kind of creepy topic is that we've really had is the Hannibal movies and whatnot. Yeah. And so this was really overdue, because I've gone to see a few that have come out. I went and saw that, God, I can't even think of the name of that movie. It was Green Inferno or something. That movie it wasn't very good. I didn't really like it. There have been movies in the genre that have come out that I don't think really capture the creepiness of it very well, and just are either shy away too much from it, or they dive a little too much into the gore of it. So mm-hmm. I feel like this really hit the psychological part of it, and then still also was not afraid to shy away from it is cannibalism though, you know?
Yeah.
And I liked that about this film.
It was definitely a sweet spot where it wasn't too much gore, where it was just mm-hmm. obnoxious at that point, where it's just trying mm-hmm. to get to the gore mm-hmm. people. But it also was very smart at the same time.
Yes, yes. And it was a very interesting take, and I think they did a fantastic job.
Well, so getting into it, what do you, because I always ask you this question every single film, what do you think the Rotten Tomato scores were?
Rotten Tomatoes, I feel like, never really likes horror movies very much. And I want to say that Rotten Tomatoes would have given this one a good rating. But like you said, there was a lot of comedy aspect in this film that we really didn't cover too much in this review. Like that part where we were talking about where he actually removed Noah's butt. That entire scene, as terrifying and as harrowing as they were making it from Noah's point of view, watching it from Steve's point of view, it was hilarious. he was just cutting up the entire time, no pun intended. and he was trying to be funny, and so I think because of that, that might have affected Rotten Tomatoes' score, where they might not have given it as high of a rating as they would have if it wouldn't have been as comedic as it was. So I'm not saying they gave it a terrible review. I'd say maybe around the 70s, 60s, 70s maybe. Sure. That being said, I think the Hulu community, or basically the audience score, mm-hmm. I would say is more around 75, 80, maybe even getting close to 85.
You're kind of spot on a little bit here. I will say that this movie, critics and audience were pretty spot on in the same realm. And given critics gave it an 82 certified fresh score, and the audience gave it an 81, where the critics technically gave it a point above. And I would say that this isn't wrong for the average watcher. If you're somebody, which I can go in and start my ratings first, my popcorn bag. I will say that this film, I would personally rate it higher. I am giving this film an extra large bag just because it was smart. It was funny when it needed to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of suspense. There was amazing girl power in this film. It was very, if you want to look at it in a strange way, a coming to age film where you're dating and you're learning the trials and tributes of dating. Hopefully that is not a case that anybody has ever been through. It's definitely just a well done film, well rounded. It gives you everything you need, where again, it doesn't focus on the huge gore factor of it, because when it starts getting too gory, that is when I start getting queasy.
Yes.
But the characters were very relatable, especially Noah. Molly, loved both of them. And this is a film, as I mentioned in the beginning, I have literally seen this film 5 times. I show it to everybody possible just because I think this film needs more people to see it. If you have not seen this film, go watch it at least once and let us know what your thoughts are. It is just something that I think you won't be disappointed. So extra large bag, well done.
I think I'm going to have to second that with an extra large bag of popcorn.
Really?
Yes. It was, like I said, it was a lot of fun. I feel like there's just, like, every now and then I just, like, kind of get this, like, weird little horror, like, hair up my butt kind of, where it's just like, I want a good horror movie.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I really want it to be about cannibalism, and I just want to watch a good cannibalism movie. And there's just not a whole lot to pick from. Like I said, like, my options are basically Silence of the Lambs or something from that franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like, I want something new and I want something fresh. And this movie really delivered. And so, it was smart. It went into, like, the psychological side of it. Mm-hmm. It really got you into the heads of the characters, not even just Noah and the other victims of Steve, but it also got you into Steve's head a little bit, into the other weirdos he was selling to. You really got a very good sense of this world with them giving you very, very little to go off of, honestly. And it was very well pieced together. The way that things were revealed, I felt like the pacing and whatnot was very, very nice for this film. And again, the comedy really added an extra little touch. Our little moments with Chad being a Chad and Steve being a weird creep but kind of funny, thinking that what he's doing is okay, and just being his genuine self, and that was hilarious. And just the way that they brought all these elements together. And then again, Molly.
Yeah.
Molly. Get you a Molly in your life. And so there was just so much to love about this film. There were certain things about it that were, again, a little predictable. Like, I knew the wife was going to come in and, like, ruin their time trying to escape and whatnot. But it was still just so much fun, just a really good film. And again, it wasn't afraid to shy away from the fact that it is a movie about cannibalism, and got into that. So I have to say, I'm definitely going to be watching it again at some point. I haven't watched it again since we watched it together while you were out here, but I definitely want to give it a rewatch. It was a lot of fun. Large bag of popcorn. Extra large.
A film that is able to leave you on a cliffhanger, but also leaving you content, I think speaks a lot of volume, because I am content to the point that if this is all I ever get with this movie, and if it's not a franchise, I am happy with that. If they choose to continue it, I will be happy with that. And that's where I think a film that does cliffhangers, well done, honestly, because you can do either or, and that speaks volume to me as a viewer.
Exactly. Exactly. I second everything you just said.
What a fun first episode to get back into reviewing for us to do. And I think we have a huge lineup of other episodes to come too.
Yeah, I'm very excited. Next week's episode. I know you are. I know you are ecstatic. Did you want to give a little hint for what we're doing next week?
Absolutely. I'd be more than happy to. And honestly, it's a quote. If you can't love yourself, how the heck are you going to love anybody else? Can I get an amen?
Oh my God, Nikki, you might as well just gave it away.
Absolutely. I can change it. You want me to change it?
No, no, I love it. It's perfect. It's perfect.
But this has been a fun episode getting to review fresh with you, Rachel. And I'm glad that I got to show you this film and now it's become one of your favorites.
It's a lot of fun. It is definitely going to be my go-to horror cannibalism movie from now on. Thank you so much, Nikki.
Absolutely. And I don't know, we've set the bar high for season four that I think the TV series and films that we have laid out, I think are all really good films and TV shows.
For sure. I'm excited to get into it.
Is this going to be an all large bag season for us?
It might be. It might be.
Uh-oh, we might have to push for a low bag the next season.
This season, only movies we like. Next season, only movies we hate.
Fair enough, fair enough. Awesome. This was a great first episode, everybody, but stay tuned until next episode. And until then, we will check you all later.
Bye!
If you like Two Girls, One Review, go subscribe wherever it is that you listen to your podcasts. One Review, go subscribe.